in here for the third time this week. It's a little strange.
It is strange. But this is a fun episode. Not that they're not all fun. This is just, we're freewheeling it today. I'm not even wearing pants.
Yeah, so if you're, hey, I'm not wearing pants either. I guess unless you consider pajama pants pants.
But I am wearing shoes, which if you don't
know. I don't know. What are shoes?
It's a great way to feel more pantsless to wear shoes without pants than to be barefoot without pants. It emphasizes the pantslessness is
indeed. Well, if you're tuning in and you're not from our league, let me give you a quick rundown of what's going on. So as part of this podcast, we've talked about how much we love home leagues and how fun they are. So we are actually doing one episode a week is the plan. That's a little shorter, a little less formal, that is more designed just for our league to listen to. So we're going to be talking about the players in our leagues, using their nicknames, first names, maybe about what specifically has happened in the last week for us. So if that isn't of interest to you, you can tune out now. But if you want to come along for the ride, we're happy to have you, whether you're in the league or not.
Who knows? Maybe you'll be in the league in the future. There's a lot of people in this league I'd happily replace, right?
Yeah. For me, specifically, four people.
Okay.
The four people who are ahead of me in the standings right now.
Hey, who's one of those people? That's me.
Yeah, well, let's run it down. So, for the gang, we are after just finished match 10, and here is the standings. In 10th place, Crone Rebels with 2,133 points. Ninth place, Strikers 11 with 2,200 points. I'm gonna shortcut that because it'll take way too long to say. Oh, in eighth place, my man muscle Andre Russell. In seventh place, almost tied. It's basically a tie between seventh and eighth. Tandoori.
3 points difference, yeah. Not so Tandoori. Yeah. And he's a rookie, by the way. Not in last place. Yep. First season.
Two rookies in the league this year. In sixth place, so this is the starting to get to the people who, if the playoffs were today, they would make the playoffs. And it's a pretty familiar list. Sixth place is Jadar Jadingdong. Fifth place is yours truly, Donies Intangibles. Fourth is Team Freestyle. Third is Bowling in the Cold Deep.
I like that.
Second, Rising Brett, Super Giants, and number one, Seek and Destroy, that's you, Whit. What do you think has made your week so successful?
Whole bunch of luck. I struck gold
Whole bunch of luck now.
Hey, maybe so.
I mean, no joke. Although, I guess, yeah. Did you have Mayer in your team, the game one or game two?
Game two. Missed out on game one. But I struck gold early with guys. I had like, of the first five games, I had three of the man of the matches. And by that's and awesome. Large, the transfers that I was using were good. That's really dried up over the last two games, though. So I went from having like a 250-point efficiency transfer down to like well below two, and I creeped back up above 200. But I got to be a little smarter, I think.
If you had to pick a player or team of the week for this week from our league, who would you pick?
Me.
Yeah, I think I've shown the group chat some charts earlier, and it's hard to argue anything else. Witt has had a fantastic start to the year. You have a transfer efficiency. No, points per active player of almost 90, which is way higher than the next person, which is Brett at 80. Oh, no, I guess, well, Josh is 87, so he's pretty close too.
Well, what's interesting about it is like, I've been in first place before. Those are old numbers or something, aren't they? So like week
they are. Let me back up. I was looking at my Cricket 2022 spreadsheet.
Oh, okay.
2023 this year. Yeah, you're way ahead with 76. Alex is actually next at 71 as far as players per active or points per active player.
He's just less active.
Yeah, that's the thing. If there was anybody I was going to give player of the week to besides you, it would be Alex because he came into this pretty blind. Didn't know a whole lot about fantasy, had a couple bad matches to start. I think he might have even missed one of the matches completely.
I think he had like a blunder now, where he had players in but didn't move his captain and stuff over. So I was trying to help him like, nobody, you gotta move that every match. But since then, he's been doing really well. He's been super efficient. He capitalized on Ali on the big CSK game where he got man of the match.
Right. Match six. And so that gave him the second highest score, single match score so far of anybody.
Nice. What about who's tanking it? Who's the worst? I mean, there's a 10th place player, but I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like
statistics indicate that somebody else is doing even worse.
Yeah, poor Eric. Man muscle Andre Russell. Eric, this is like a kind of a running joke in our league, what bad luck he has. I seriously can't say that he picks worse players than me. They just always do worse when he picks them. Oh, I can't say that he picks worse players than me, but they just always do worse when he picks them.
Yeah, can I think that's me? Like, I couldn't for a minute, but I can now.
Oh, okay. All right.
I think the hackers were trying to get in, trying to steal all of our secrets. But no, I think that's like the worst thing that can happen in the morning is you see the game go live and you start checking other people's lineups. And the more similar your lineup is to Eric's, the worse day you're going to have.
Yeah.
It's like you're better off just picking like only differential picks, people that there's no way they'd be on Eric's team. He would not have thought of putting this guy on there. And then you'll probably do better. I don't think it's like,
yeah, his
our trajectories
is,
have been very similar.
Man muscle, Andre Russell.
Yeah, he killed him this year. Thanks for that, Eric.
So don't pick Russell, just ever. You're better off just not bothering. I think Brett said in the chat something about how the teams look at his lineup right before they go out and change their lineup just to make sure that none of his players are actually playing. Did you see that one?
Yeah, I saw something in there with that. I couldn't believe it, though. This morning, came out of an appointment, pulled out my phone, and Golden Duck from Aiden Markram.
Oh, yeah, that killed me. I had just gotten in the car after dropping off my daughter at school. So I was a little shocked by that after he scored like 100 runs or something in his last ODI.
Yeah.
Oh,
he
well.
Ready. We talked him up in the podcast.
Yeah. We've had some hits. We've had some misses. Well, let's see. What else is to note here? One thing I track is who in any match, who are the players who scored the four highest points, the four highest point totals for that match?
Right. So we've had 10 matches so far. So ideally, you would have a score of 10 in this category.
Yeah. So there are three teams right now who have not scored a number one top score of the match in our league. Who do you think they are? Three teams that have never had the best score that day.
Okay. I'm going to go with Man Muscle Andre Russell.
That's a safe bet. You're right about that. Yep. I already told you Alex had one.
I know. I'm throwing him a Strikers 11.
No, match five, Vanky had 390 points.
Oh.
So he was the top guy.
Jadarja Ding Dong.
Yep, Judars has not reached that level yet. He was close on the first match, but did not quite get it. And then the third one's me. I have not had a top score, but I was the last one to not get a top score last year, and I still won. So
steady Eddie. There's nothing wrong with that.
All right, speaking of top scores and bottom scores, let's talk about what I know everybody wants to hear. Who is the current holder of the blue cap and the brown cap? If you don't know, the blue cap is whoever has the highest single match score of the year so far. And the brown cap is whoever has the lowest single match score in which they had three players playing in that score, in that game.
Is it three? I thought it was just two.
It's three. It's more than two.
Okay, gotcha.
So it's three. So if it was just two, then it'd be pretty pathetic still. Because there's enough times where somebody forgets to set their lineup and they just happen to have two players and one of them's a red dot.
That's fair.
So Jeff, Crone Rebels, has been carrying the blue cap the whole season so far. 65.5 from that first match.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, who did he play in that match? Who did he?
Everybody. I think he had 11 hot.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and he caught a little bit of lightning in a bottle because that was Guy Quad's big game. Shubman did well. Mm-hmm. Khan did well. The only thing he kind of missed on was that he had Hardik as captain. Otherwise, that's like the kind of score that's like, that's respectable if you used a booster, even. Like, you wouldn't be thrilled if you used your whole team times two booster and only ended up with 65, but it's totally reasonable that would happen. Like, that's a reasonable score if you times two your whole team.
I think that
1,000 point range, but
right. I was just looking last year. I know Brett had the blue cap at the end of the season last year. On the butt bump, he scored 1,617 points. That's the highest anyone's ever scored in our league.
Yeah, because he was able to double-double on Butler. He had his captain on Butler on a whole team times two. So it's like essentially cheating.
Yeah, it's like 800 points just for Butler. I wish he had a screenshot of that day.
He might. Send it to us, Brett.
Go down in history.
I'd have it. I'd have a poster of that. But I'm looking at the blue cap holders team here, and there's like, he's in last place, but he still has 128 transfers left. His transfer efficiency is fine at 177.8. And there's not been any total misses. Like, he's playing. So, match four, there's a zero. Match four didn't get set. But
yeah, as far as points per player he's actually put in, he is second only to you. It's a big jump. You have 70 points per player, and the rest of us, Brett, Brian, Josh, Jeff, and Alex all have 62 or 63 or 61, I guess. So there's real tight spacing on those guys. And then Judar, Vanky, and I are not doing so hot with only 58, and we don't need to talk about anybody else. We'll just stop there.
Fair enough.
So then the brown cap.
Yeah, let's hear it.
The brown cap has actually been torn in half at the moment.
Oh.
And it is shared by Eric, Man Muscle, Andre Russell, and Jeff. Same Jeff who has the blue cap. So he's got a heavy head right now. And that was match five. So I'm guessing they had the same players. I'm going to take a look at Eric's lineup there.
At 80 points.
At 80 points, yep.
So Eric had a captain on Sir Yakamore and a VC on Glenn Maxwell with a high of 40 points out of Sir Yakamore at captain.
Yeah, and that was before we knew that the Mumbai Indians were a dumpster fire. And before we knew that Glenn Maxwell had been replaced, essentially, with what's the guy's name? Mark Brandwell or something?
Bracewell.
Bracewell. Michael Bracewell. Yeah. So
interestingly, Jeff's week five score, the only shared component is captain on Big Sky. I would not have guessed. I might have guessed the VC, but I never would have guessed the other player he had team points from. We've never mentioned this guy in our lives. It's a pretty good uncapped pickup, though.
Oh.
Nihal Wadhara?
Nihal Wadhara. Wadhara, name is that, man. Nihal, the names the he could have picked. Wadhara under the bridge. He followed suit with me, though, and played Jaffer Archer as a vice captain. And
yeah.
Yeah. That'll do it.
That'll do it. Archer still got a chance. I don't know. I can see myself playing Archer in the future. I don't know that I see myself playing Wadhara. Wadhara. Wadhara?
Yeah, he's on the bubble for me. I'm not going to put him in until he does something good.
That's
the same for all Mumbai Indians, though, except for the varmint.
He'll be a hot pickup here in a day or two.
Yeah. Yeah, he will. A hot pickup. Well, let me look at my list. Any other wisdom to share? I wrote down my show notes on this spreadsheet somewhere.
So we're 10 matches in. So, like, a lot of that early jockeying is over. I mean, there was probably, what, three different leaders in the first three matches, something like that. The trajectories are kind of set. Who do you think will be the biggest mover, either up or down, over the next 10 matches?
Let me take a look at the chart for that. Biggest mover, next 10 matches. I honestly am liking the way Alex's trajectory looks. And I know how well he does at fantasy football. So I would put my money on Alex having the most movement. Does he still have a decent number of transfers left?
Yep. Well, he's doing okay at 122. He went a little fat on the last couple of games and didn't get much. So he kind of suffered the same fate that I think a lot of people did. You know, he took what should have been very good picks and they just didn't pan out. But I mean, he got his biggest jump was that 617 points week six. That's with only like five players in or something like that. Like he got close. He was knocking up against that with, let's see, one, two. He got 294 points from Moeen Ali alone. He had four players in that game. And it only came up like 40 points, 50 points shy of what Crone Rebels did to open the season with all 11 playing. So if he pulls a couple of those off, he'll be in the top three before you know it.
I think I expect Alex to be ahead of Judar the next time we record this.
It's only one position. Mm-hmm. I'm expecting maybe even you to gain the most positional points. And the reason I think so is because looking at how you're positioned for some matches, you've got a good sequence set up for good players and good matches and light on players where the matches aren't going to be great. And that's where I think I've started to suffer some, is that I was force feeding some of those matches that just were not likely to give me good points. So you only being like 30 points behind Uncle's. No, wait. That's a bigger gap than I thought. In 10 matches, I could see you finding your way to the top three in the next 10 matches.
Yeah, joining the top tier anyway.
I could also see me falling out of the top three. Because I went from being a bottle rocket to just a rock in a bottle.
Yeah, but you're 200, over 200 points ahead of the next one.
There's a buffer there. I'm very happy about that. I've been in this position before. I've been in first place a bunch of times, at least at some point in every single year. But I've never been in first place and had some tangible reasons of being there, as far as like still having, let's see, what do I got? 124 transfers left. That's it's pretty good. I think there's only a few people that have more than I do, but then also still having a high transfer rate. No big deal being in first place if you've burnt 10 more transfers than everybody else, but I've done pretty well with that so far. So
yeah. Yeah. That's why I have pretty good confidence. You're going to still be in the top three, if not the top one, 10 matches from now. But Brett's also on a good trajectory. He seems to have found his rhythm. He always ends up
always does
getting to the top.
He'll get you.
Yeah. He and I have been the number one and the number two at the end of the season every year so far. It was very, very close last year to that not being the case. But I always start the season lower, like fourth or fifth. And then by the end, I've caught up. So I'm
such a temptation. Like you start falling behind people or whatever. Those gaps start to look big, but you have to look at the big picture and think about, like, you know, right now, like Alex really, really struck big in that one game, you know, so he's kind of artificially inflated. He's doing much, much better than he did to start the season otherwise. But like, if you were a couple hundred points behind him, he's not going to score 600 points a match. So don't panic yet. I think in years past, for sure, I'd have been more tempted to, instead of backing off like I kind of planned to do for a few matches, actually doing more. And next thing you know, you're going to see me burning four or five transfers a match, trying to hold that number one spot, and I just run out of gas when we get late in the season. So I'm just kind of trying to reset the rhythm. I don't really like how my team is positioned as far as upcoming matches. I'm going to have matches where I might only have two guys in once or twice. Otherwise, I'm going to burn a ton of transfers trying to have three, four, five guys in a match. So, like, I'm good for tomorrow. Like, I'm set up well for tomorrow. But then after that, I get in trouble pretty quick. The one thing that worked out well for me is I think I was the only one that preemptively dropped Josh Butler.
Oh.
Because I needed to make room for today. And he was holding an overseas and, 11 credits or something hostage. So I dropped him, figuring, well, I'll just burn one more transfer just to get him back. And then now he's injured, so I don't have to. So
to put you in the same boat as everybody else.
Just did it a day early. I would
have had to do one more. So last thing I want to go over is these polls that I've been putting out.
Oh, yes. I'm curious.
There. So the first one was, which match one star will finish the season with the most fantasy points? There were three people who voted for Gaikwad. I was one of those. Three who voted for Gil, one who voted for Rashid Khan. Whit, I don't think you voted in that one. So what do you think of those results?
I intended to vote in that.
Yeah, nope. You didn't make it through. Who'd you vote for?
Trying not to let recent information change that, but I probably would have, gone for Gaikwad. He just came out of the gate the hottest. So,
yeah, they're all pretty good. Gil, I think, is the only one who hasn't finished in like the top 10 out of those three. Because Khan was good last year and every year. Who else? What's next? Can Mark Wood keep it up? Next match, will he get more than 2.5 wickets?
Were we all wrong?
Everyone picked no, which is probably the statistically the right thing to say, but he did in fact get
a bullshit late wicket. He had two, and then he just kind of got a garbage time wicket. But
and then he
doesn't even play today, not even a substitute. Yeah. You got to do a little research.
I haven't looked at this yet since the last few matches. Five teams lost their first match this season. Which one will win their second match? Super Kings, Knight Riders, Capitals, Sunrisers, Mumbai. The only one we don't know about is Mumbai. They haven't played yet. But results were five people thought the Super Kings would win their next match.
I think I was one of them.
Whit, Brett, me, Judar, and Vanky got that right. Three thought the Mumbai Indians would win against the Super Kings. Awesome. Who's picked those? Josh, Judar, and Vanky. So we'll see about that.
Yeah. Seems like a tall task. They probably didn't factor in what that match was going to be, but okay.
Okay, and then Kolkata Knight Riders, that one surprised me, I can tell you.
Yeah.
Surprised Brian or Judar. So nice pick, Brian and Judah. I'm surprised Eric didn't vote in this one. So otherwise, I'm sure he would have picked them. And then the Capitals had one vote and Sunrisers had one vote. I picked the Capitals to beat Gujarat. They did not. And Brian picked the Sunrisers to win. That was an embarrassing one, Uncle Stoffs, that you picked the Sunrisers to win. It's even more embarrassing that you're beating me by 50 points.
Yeah, a guy who believed in the Sunrisers
is outperforming you. Yeah. All right, and then the last one that I put out so far. I have a really good one. So if you're listening to this tonight, I guess, I have a really good one I'm putting out tomorrow. I'm excited about. Punjab sixes. Who is going to be the batter who scores the most sixes? And it ended up being Shikhar Dhawan, who five of us picked.
Which I accidentally got Roger Bosca killed.
Yeah, Witt picked Raj Bosca. I think that should count as a six for both of them because it hit him right in the six pack. Actually, I didn't see where it hit him. I didn't see it.
I think it hit him in the forearm.
Wow.
Oh. I think he's still in the hospital.
Yikes.
I actually have no idea if he's still in the hospital. I made that up.
Jeter picked S. Khan, who I think is a player. Oh, nice job, Jeter. So that's it so far. If anybody has good ideas for polls, let me know. I know Brett had one that I don't remember what it was, but I'll look at it again.
Let's see. Banuka Rajapaksa injury update. He's playing down the seriousness of his injury. We're in the latest social media posts.
Was he Sri Lankan? Is he Sri Lankan?
Yeah, he's Sri Lankan. The physio, I always like that term, by the way. The physio immediately came to check on him. The x-rays have cleared me of any broken bones and fractures. Plenty of ice needed, but I'm doing fine. That's what he says.
I think that's the best you can hope for when you get smacked with a Shikhar Dhawan line drive at 140 kilometers an hour. It's brutal.
All right. For him.
Well, that's all the time I've got. We'll talk to y'all next week or tomorrow, I guess, on the horn. Don't forget to set your lineups for the early game tonight. Tomorrow.
It's Royal
Mornings.
Yeah.
Set the lineup tonight for the game tomorrow.
RR versus DC. Plenty of good choices there. Everyone should have strong lineups in the morning.
But all you have to do is set your captain and vice captain. I mean, at the very least, because everybody probably has them. I mean, right? Everybody has two players from this match.
At least.
Oh, I got a daughter coming in to say goodnight. So.
No, it's
okay.
Dog burrito.
No, dog burrito. I have dog burrito.
All right, dog burritos are saying goodnight. We'll shut it down here.
All right. May the wickets fall for always in your favor.
Yes. Good one.
Later.
Bye.
All right.